Now, this encounter between Jesus and the people in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, there's something going on here that's rather more deeper than just Lord's Day observance, as we sometimes call it. This is not just about whether we should do things on Sundays or Saturdays or whatever. It reminded me, actually, when I was a curate, I was talking to Janet about this, the choir in the church where I was a curate put on an entertainment, I think it was at Christmas, and I remember one of the ladies singing this song. I think it was an old musical song that was something about not washing your undies on a Sunday, and they made great fun of the people who object to people putting their washing out on a Sunday, which apparently still does happen. But this is not just about Sabbath observance. There's something deeper going on here. It's about basically what God wants from us. And if even more deeper than that, is it's really asking the question, why did God create us? Have you ever asked yourself that question, what am I doing here? You probably heard that, I've told you this one before, about the au pair girl who was looking after some children in this country. And she went upstairs and found the children in a place they shouldn't be. And she said to them, what are you doing here on earth? No, she meant to say, what on earth are you doing here? That's what she'd heard the parents say to them. But she said to them, what are you doing here on earth? And it is a very good question, isn't it? Why are we here? Now, the last couple of weeks, I've talked to you a little bit about the science that's around that helps us to realize that the universe is very carefully tuned for us. And this planet, it's remarkable how precisely it has been put together so that we could actually exist as human beings. It's not just a matter of coincidence. It's fairly clear, actually, that it's very unlikely that there's any other intelligent life in the universe, because the conditions that had to be right for us to be here are so precise that, as one of the great scientists said, the universe knew that we were coming, i.e. that if it was created 15 billion years ago, it was created in a way such that we could actually exist in the here and now. So if the universe has been created for us, it's not unreasonable to think that God actually created us in a particular way for his own purposes. And it's really interesting, isn't it, to ask the question, why did God create us? What are we doing here? And I want to just think about it, because I think that passage that I read from the gospel about Jesus encountering, if you like, the religious people of his day in the synagogue, actually helps us to understand what's going on. Now, basically, the dispute between Jesus and these people is, what does God want of us? Does he want us to follow these rules that they've come up with, that they've derived from the Old Testament law? Are these so important that is actually why God made us? So that we can actually follow that set of rules that he laid down there in the Old Testament. Now, that is actually the view of many, if you might call, religious people, that we are here to fulfill the rules that God has made for us. In many ways, that's really what religion, in its simplest sense, is about. It's following religion. The word religion actually comes from the word for rules. I think it's a Latin derivation. And so religion is about keeping God's rules. But the idea is that fundamentally is what God wants for us, wants from us. That's why he made us. But in many ways, that doesn't seem to make sense, particularly from the perspective that Jesus came to bring for us. There is something actually more than God wants from us than keeping this set of rules. The best way of looking at it is to understand that we are actually God's children. And the Bible tells us very clearly right at the beginning that we're made in his image, which means that we are something like him. Perhaps the best bits of us reflect something of the nature of God. And that's a reasonable place to start. And if we look at ourselves and ask ourselves what's best about human beings, that should give us a glimpse of understanding what God is like and therefore what he wants from us. If we are God's children, then we know that he loves us. That's the primary thing we have about children. Because we need to ask ourselves, why do we have children? Now, most of us here, I think, have had children, and we love our children. And we need to ask the question, why do we actually have children? We do not have children just to invent a set of rules for them to follow. I don't know if any of you, that's true for any of you, but it's certainly not true for me and Posy. We did not have our children so that we could invent a set of rules and then make them follow them. But in many ways, that's what some religious people seem to think, that God invented this set of rules, and then he created people to actually follow those rules. Now, from a mature point of view, that doesn't seem to make sense. And it's kind of the conflict that's going on in this synagogue, because the leader of the synagogue is saying to Jesus, here's a rule that you mustn't work on a Sunday. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter that this woman needs to be healed. It doesn't matter that she shouldn't have to wait another moment to be relieved from her suffering. Jesus is saying to her, what is most important is that God loves her and that he wants to see her set free. And that's the conflict that we find here, and the conflict that is still raging in the world. And I really want to try and persuade you that the thing that God is after is the same thing that we're after with our children, that we're after a loving relationship with them. And that's precisely what God wants for us. And that's why he created us. There's a passage that I put there in the grapevine from the book of Romans, which kind of, I think, kind of helps us to understand that. It's Romans 8, 28 to 30. Where Paul writes, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. He's telling us there, isn't he, that God wants us to be conformed, to be transformed, to be like Jesus, so that he can, if you like, be the big brother in a large family. Elsewhere it says that he wants us that Jesus is the firstborn from creation, but he is the first. If he's the firstborn, then there he wants to have lots of brothers and sisters, and that's us. We are made to be part of God's family, to be brothers and sisters, and to be children alongside the Lord Jesus as the firstborn. That's God's purpose for humanity. And that's what's behind this conflict that we see in the synagogue. Now, there's a picture here very clearly for us that we can apply, and it's just a simple direct picture, and it's the picture of us as parents with our children. If we keep thinking about how we love our children, how we want the best for them, how we love to see them develop and grow and mature and become their own people, all these things that are the joys of parenthood are exactly the same for God as he looks at us as human beings and as he looks at the whole human race. Because there's no doubt, as you look back through human history, that somehow the human race is maturing. We are growing up to be more and more like Jesus. That's God's purpose for us. And it's so hard that the world just cannot see that, that there is a purpose for our existence here, and it's centered on the person of Jesus. So can I ask you to ponder on these matters, to think seriously about how you love your children and how the families around you work, and see that as a real picture. See the best parts of our human family life as an analogy for how God wants us to be part of his family, how we can really be his children, but to be his grown-up children, You know, the parable of the prodigal son is one of the most powerful ones that we know of. And it's about a father and with his two grown-up sons. That parable is so clearly speaking to us. And it's speaking about parents and children, but it's speaking about parents and grown-up children. And that's the relationship that God's looking for. Because we are grown-ups. Even though we say we're God's children, he expects us to grow in maturity and to relate to him as grown-ups. Now, God did obviously take the human race through that childhood stage. And that's what we really read about in the Old Testament. There's a relationship with God that is based on rules, that is based on doing what you're told. It's based on being part of a community that knows what it ought to do. But in many ways, we see with the coming of Jesus that God is expecting the human race to grow up into maturity, to begin to relate to him, not as a child, but as an adult. And to see Jesus as our great example of what it means to be in relationship with God as an adult. We read about Jesus in the Gospels, and there we see the great example of what it means to be in relationship with God. And we can see too how we find difficulty, but we try to help our children to mature, to grow up into be fulfilled, healthy adult lives. And we need to allow him to do the same work in us. And that is really, in many ways, the purpose of the church. We are gathered here together to share our experiences of God, to reflect on what it means to be in this mature relationship with him, to encourage one another, and to actually speak together of him, and to speak to him, and to hear from him. This is what the church is about. And that's why we do need to keep on gathering together, to encourage each other in our relationship with him. I put, in Grapevine, there's a quotation from the book of Hebrews. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let's reflect on that. Let's hold on to that.